We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Chen, let's go.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 8:35. That's when we will have Cubs pregame with Zach Zateman as the Cubs try to piece a couple of wins together after winning last night. We will spend some time talking about that on the show, and we encourage you to be a part of it if you wish. 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to call into the show. You can also text us at 670-11. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. The crew. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer of this fine program. Mike Chen is in charge of sound. Tony Gill is just hanging out. I don't know why, but he's just hanging out in the back. Oh, and there's Shane. He'll be gone soon. He's got to catch a train. You gonna stick around? Okay, good. Full boat back there. I like that. It's good stuff. Always nice to have a lot of different people with their hands in the show. I would like to have a little fun because watching Javier Baez is fun. It's the most fun. If you've been a fan of this show, you've heard me say a couple times before that the two guys that I like ride with are Wilson Contreras and Javier Baez. Like, those are like the two guys on that Cubs team that I'm like, man, they look like they're having a great time. Like, I would want to be like them if I was playing ball. I think Baez is the most fun player in baseball. I'm not saying he's the best player. That's Mike Trout. And Trout's a lot of fun to watch too. And I brought this up, and we did doing like these videos now, like to preview the show and some of the stuff that we're going to talk about on the show. It's hard to explain, and his value is in some cases hard to quantify. And whenever we're talking about a fun thing, like that's a fun thing to quantify. But like even last night, he hits the ball to the wall yesterday. That first one where he went oppo. And he's shaking his head because he knows that he missed it. Him hitting the home run, him hitting the granny, him throwing out Puig yesterday. It was so great because JD brought it up. And he said, if we're talking about baseball IQ, those two guys couldn't be farther away from each other on the spectrum. And he's right. Like, that's part of the thing that makes Javi great and fun to watch, because we are watching a guy who's not just reliant on being a physical specimen. Like, he's got all the physical tools, too. But when you add the dimension of how smart of a player he is, I think it can add to it being even more fun. Can you think of a more fun player in Major League Baseball? Joe Maddon said it last night. This game needs more of Javi. Now, the problem is that we're probably, I would say, 5 to 7 years away from more Javis. Because the guys that are watching Javi and being like, man, I could add that to my game, are in high school right now. It's kind of like the Steph Curry effect in basketball, where you start seeing kids go out there and take shots that you know they shouldn't be taking. And there'll be someone that improves on it. And maybe that person is Trae Young. Maybe he ends up being the person that's able to take that next step, what Steph has done. The Javi guys are in high school and in college right now. But I am looking forward to the day when he is kind of held up as this paragon of the change that needed to happen in baseball to make it more fun. A texter says, Lawrence, why do I feel like you guys used to hate on Baez all the time? Because you don't listen. That's why. But I feel like he is going to be closer to what the standard is in Major League Baseball. I'm really looking forward to, like, you can't keep your eyes off of him. He's out there making plays, and you just go, wow, this is great. And I've been trying to think of other comps in baseball, like current day baseball. Herbie, can you think of anyone that's a comp? I feel like the closest comp is this catcher. The closest comp to Javi is Contreras.
I mean, he doesn't have as much fun, but his high school
Lindor?
Teammate, yeah, or childhood teammate.
Mike, you're shaking your head.
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I'm racking my brain, nothing.
And I don't know if this is a byproduct of baseball just creating these kind of drones that just come up and play baseball and don't have fun. Emily Kaplan wrote a really great piece for ESPN Magazine about hockey and how in hockey, the word I is a bad word, and that you have these players that come into the game and they feel uncomfortable talking about themselves. And I'm not saying that Javi has to go out there and brag. I'll do the bragging for him. I love to watch him play. Now, someone brought up Puig. Puig is fun, but Puig's not as smart. And that's the thing I think that holds him back.
I was thinking early Carlos Gomez, and Shane brought up Rognan Odor.
No, the Gomez thing is close. It's close because he had that crazy talent, and he seemed to understand the game pretty well. But I am looking forward to this changing baseball in what I think is a positive way. And of course, then it'll probably swing back the other way. But in the era that we're in now of short attention span, of flashy plays, that's a good comp, 708 texter, Beltre. That's actually probably the perfect comp. Because it's a guy who's great. It's a guy who has a lot of fun, and it's a guy who's really bleeping smart. That's a good comp. What's a John Olerud? No, it is not good. The Cubs GM, Jed Hoyer, was on The Score this morning, and he talked about how fun it is to watch Baez.
I think last night was one of those games where we just needed someone to step up and sort of get a couple of huge hits and let everyone else exhale. And Javi did that last night. I mean, it's hard to play a much better baseball game than that. I mean, he was incredible on defense at third. That double play was at exactly the right moment, and there's not many guys in baseball that make that play. And the home run to tie it, and the home run to stretch it out. I mean, those were such big swings of the bat for us. You know, we needed to get back to tied there, and then, you know, he really stretched it out and allowed us to, like I said, take a deep breath. So that was a huge game and what we needed. And, you know, Javi is, he's so talented. And, you know, the way I've always described him is that he does so many things to help you win games, whether it's on the bases, on defense, at any position, and at the plate. I mean, he can, you know, certainly, you know, he can have his moments where, You know, he swings at three bad pitches and has a strikeout. But I feel like people remember those moments more than they do with other people. And his ability to bounce back is remarkable from those moments. He doesn't carry the strikeout with him, or doesn't carry an error with him. He lets it go right away and gets back to helping us win. So it's been fun to watch. He's really, really taken a step forward this year.
A couple of things from what Jed said there. The other aspect of this is, yeah, he plays a bunch of positions. Like, he's a Swiss Army knife. He's Jose Aquindo, but really, really good at wherever you put him. You can make the argument that Javier Baez should be this team's shortstop. I make that argument quite often, that he should be this team's everyday shortstop. You can play him at third. If you told him, hey, Javi, we need you to go play center tonight, he'd go, and it would be hilarious. And he'd make a great play and probably throw someone out. And all of the crazy stuff, too, where he's swinging at balls that you know he shouldn't be swinging at. And you're like, why did Javi swing? Oh, he just hit that ball out of the ballpark. There is a level of, don't do that, Javi. Oh, look, it's a home run. Don't do that, Javi. Oh, my God, he threw that guy out. He thinks that impossible things are possible on the baseball diamond. And because he does, it allows him, he plays the game creatively. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful way to do it. And when he does connect, that makes it even more fun.
The 3-2 to Baez, swung on and driven to deep right center field. Way back at the wall. Look up. It's gone. A home run for Javier Baez. And the Cubs are on the board. 1-1 here in the fifth inning.
Javier drives one in the air. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Grand slam, Javier Baez. Cubs lead 7-2.
Highlights courtesy of the score. Zach Zateman on the call. That was, the fifth inning? Because he gets the fifth inning. And Pat Hughes on the call on the grand slam. You could put Javier Baez at second, third, or short on just about every team in Major League Baseball, and it would probably be an upgrade. There are a few exceptions, like his guy in Cleveland. Lindor is, a monster. People are saying Altuve, but here's the thing about Altuve. You think it's fun because he's short, not because Altuve necessarily has a fun personality on the playing surface. You go, oh, look at that 5'5 guy out there hitting 240 hits a season. That's adorable. That's different from what we're talking about. The best comp is the Beltre comp. That's being able to play offense and defense, having fun, but having a really high baseball IQ. That's probably the best comp. You want to jump in and talk a little Javier Baez with me? I look forward to it. 312-644-6767. I say the game needs more Javier Baez. Not just Cubs games, the game overall. And man, when we get more of those guys, the GIFs are going to be amazing. Back after this on The Score. This segment being brought to you by Fogo de Chão. Savor authentic Brazilian steakhouse flavor at Fogo de Chão on a busy schedule during weekday lunch. Visit their location in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville for lunch, starting at $15. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 8:35. It's always fun to see what happens when I'm always amazed at what people say about sports radio and how sports radio is built on negativity. And I always find it fascinating on whenever you talk positively about something or someone, how quickly there are people who want to shoot holes in it. Check this out. I know that you're not a dog, But see if you can hear the dog whistle of this text, okay? I mean, it's difficult because you're not a dog. You're a human being. But I'm guessing that you can hear the dog whistle in this text about Javier Baez. Ready? 815 texter says, give an example of his baseball IQ that is unrelated to his athleticism. And the text is in all caps. Mike, did you hear that?
It's ridiculous.
Herbie, did you hear that? It sounded like a whistle.
When you said 815, I heard it.
Now you're profiling. That's not fair. Not everyone in the 815 is like that. Are they? No. And then there's a guy that's like, I should be watching more baseball than just Chicago. Right, because I don't watch any other baseball other than the Cubs and White Sox. I wasn't standing here talking about the Sunday night game of the week and watching. He wants to make his argument for Bryce Harper. Okay. Bryce can be added to the conversation. But this idea of like, oh, well, he's not as interesting as Bryce Harper is. What position does Bryce play? What position does Javi play? All of them. Yes, Herbie, look like you want to say something.
I'm just wondering, do you know who's having a better offensive year?
Between Javier Baez and Bryce Harper?
Yes.
This year, it would be Javier Baez.
That's correct.
What's the OPSs? Because Bryce is hitting home runs. He's just not hitting anything else.
Bryce is 840. Decent. Nice.
That's pretty good.
Javi's is 870.
Baby. That's real good. I mean, look, I'm all for Bryce Harper. You know he's coming here, right? Because he used to play baseball with Chris Bryant. He has a dog named Wrigley, so he's going to come to the Cubs next year. So, breaking. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go out to Rosemont and talk with Sarge. Hey, Sarge, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I'd like to give you a comp. We'll talk about Javi in a minute, but I go back a ways, so I'm going to give you a comp. A guy by the name of Milt Rosenberg. I don't know if you remember him from the 70s and 80s, but most people called him Doc. And I thought he was great. Always a ton of respect for the subject matter and for the participants, guests, and callers that he had. So that's out to you. I can't go
Your comp is that. That's a comp for me. I'm Milt Rosenberg. I'll take that extension 720.
That's a comp for you.
Okay, great. I'm. You know what I'm really glad about, Sarge? Hold on just a second, Sarge. You know what I'm really glad about? I'm glad that he didn't, you know, be like, you know who you remind me of, Lawrence?
Doug Banks,
or the Fly Jock. You really remind me of Tom Joyner in his prime.
Trying to think of other like guys you can comp you with.
Jonathan Hood. You remind me so much of Hood.
Tommy Williams.
That would make me real mad. Man, you remind me so much of Disco Dave.
Crazy Howard McGee.
I appreciate that he went cross-racial with the comp. That's important.
I mean, you saw Chauncey Billups did it with every white player in the draft. He's like, well, he reminds me of another white player.
Chauncey Billups was running out of white players to comp white players to at the draft. It was so annoying, mainly because Jalen Rose last year went out of his way to not do that. He actually scouted the player. And so let me find a player that player is like. I swear, Chauncey Billups is like any white player in the draft. He's like, yeah, I mean, he's a lot like Jerry West. No, he's not. He's not. That guy reminds me a lot of Bob Cousy.
Man, that Dante DiVincenzo, he's the exact same player as Keith Van Horn.
Right. DiVincenzo had the highest jump at the combine. I was just waiting for someone to call him sneaky athletic. I was waiting for someone to be lazy and be like, you know, DiVincenzo. I mean, doesn't look it, but that guy's sneaky athletic. Why? Because he's white? Anyway, I say all of that, Sarge, to say thank you. That is a very generous comp on your part to my skills.
Well, appreciate it. Now, Javi reminds you guys, and obviously I'm going old school on you, but when you talk about intelligence and offense and defense, he reminds me a lot of, they don't play the same position, but Willie Mays. And Willie Mays was a character that came along in 1951 and continued the revolution and brought the say hey to it and had a lot of fun and implemented a lot going into the game. They're jumping up a couple of generations. A guy that plays basically a similar position as high and maybe the same position. A great defender, great IQ on the baseball acumen, and both of these, Willie Mays and the guy that I'm about to mention, great game.
Wait, who? You crapped out a little bit. Who is it? We lost Sarge. Sorry.
It was a long walk up to Ozzie Smith.
Oh, it was Ozzie. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that a little bit. Much better hitter. I always like when we can go into the Wayback Machine. Well, I don't always like it, but I like it a lot. Like, my degree is in history, and I love, like, marrying sports and history. Willie Mays is on a list of players that I wish I could have seen. I love to throw old numbers out because some of the old numbers are just stupid. When you see how great guys were. So let me give you the Willie Mays numbers. Two-time MVP, Rookie of the Year, won the 54 World Series, batting title, 12-time Gold Glove, two-time All-Star MVP, 24-time All-Star. Yes, Mike, 24-time All-Star. Now, I want to say that there was like a time when there were two All-Star games in a season or something stupid like that, but Willie Mays went to 24 damn All-Star games. Here's his slash line for his career. 302, 384, 557. Willie Mays had a career OPS of 941. He hit 660 home runs in his career. I'm looking at how his best season, here, this is, it's got to be his best season, 64, even though he won the MVP. No, 65, that's the year he won the MVP. In 1965, Willie Mays hit 317, with an on-base percentage of 398. He slugged 645 for an OPS that year of 1.043. He hit 52 home runs, 112 RBIs, and he only stole 9 bases. But he had stolen base seasons of 40, 38, 31 in his career. I love it when we can go back in the Wayback Machine. Heck, if you ever, you know what? I'll just share it with you. Like, if you ever looked up, you know, we joke about the 27 Yankees. Have you ever looked up Lou Gehrig's numbers? Like, it's mythical, the stuff that he was doing. Are you looking it up now, Mike? Gehrig's numbers are so stupid that, okay, here's the numbers on Gehrig. Of course, Hall of Fame, two-time MVP, triple crown winner, 7-time All-Star, 6-time World Series, and had a batting title. Lou Gehrig played for 17 years. His slash line, his career slash line, 340, 447, 632. Lou Gehrig's career on-base plus slugging was 1.080. His career! His career! Gehrig had a season where he hit 363, was on base 47% of the time, and slugged 706. It's a fun little wormhole to go down in. When you just, like, pick a great player, like Double X. Pick him. Look up his numbers. Go down the rabbit hole. People are like, oh, you know, Lou Gehrig got Lou Gehrig's disease. No, before that, he was probably the second best player in the game.
What I'm tripping off of, he played 8 games in 1939. Still was an all-star.
Well,
slashing 143, 273, 143. Come on, Lou.
But
come on.
It's
pick it up.
We know what happened. Jesus. Lincoln Park and George. Hey, George, you're on the score.
God, I love the show. I think Javi, he's so resilient. I mean, I had to stay up and watch and listen to the game on the score all till it ended last night just to see what he was going to do. And he gets hurt. He bounces back. He's so enthusiastic. He's like a gummy bear. He's the best. I mean, there's nothing like him out there. And I'd love to hear the numbers on Roberto Clemente if you're going to keep going down those things, Lawrence. Thank you.
All right. We got a request for Clemente numbers. By the way, look, people should be going to Puerto Rico anyway. But you should go, if you ever go, you should go to Puerto Rico anyway because their economy needs it and it's a really beautiful place. I've been there and I love it and the hurricane has hit them hard and 4,600 people have died. People that I know who are either from or live in Puerto Rico say they want people to come back to the island and that the island is open for business. If you ever go, it's a great baseball trip. Hiram Bithorn Stadium. In San Juan, named after Hiram Bithorn, first Puerto Rican-born player in the major leagues. Fun fact, he played for both the Cubs and the White Sox. If you go in there, and my Spanish is not great, Mike, you can probably check me on this. If you go in there, considering the history of Puerto Rican baseball, they have La Tierra de los Receptadores, Land of the Catchers. And there's a mural in the ballpark of all of the great Puerto Rican catchers throughout the history of the game. So basically, it's a mural to the Molinas, but whatever. And then his name is still revered, not just in Puerto Rico, but in baseball. You bring up Roberto Clemente. Now you're talking about not just a great ball player, but an incredible human being. You want the numbers on Clemente? Here we go. This is fun. Who knew that you could do this in 2018 on sports radio? Hall of Famer, obviously. MVP. Two-time World Series winner. World Series MVP. 12-time Gold Glove. 4-time batting title. 15-time All-Star. Roberto Clemente. Clemente, in his 18 years, had a slash line of 317, 359, 475 for an OPS of 834, which is why, like, people talking about Chris Bryant went to the disabled list with an 864 OPS. If he has an 864 OPS for the rest of his career, he's going to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. Clemente was just, you go to Pittsburgh and walk around Pittsburgh, any Pirates fan will engage you in conversation about Roberto Clemente. Some people believe it's the best arm ever in the history of baseball. It's fun. Wait, does Ricky want to get in the Wayback Machine with us? Great. Hi, Ricky, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, definitely love the Wayback Machine. Hey, I'm doing Uber tonight, but so I don't. If I'm going to say something you might have mentioned, I just dropped somebody off, so I had to kind of mute the radio. Two things. One about Luke Gehrig. You might have mentioned it. He drove in 174 runs, batting behind a guy who hit 60 home runs the same year. That's crazy.
Yes.
And then Willie Mays, you know, he lost 2 years of his career basically due to the service. So let's give him 25. He might have hit 30 home runs in each of those years. That's 60 more homers. So now he's at 720. He also played 20 years in the Polo Grounds and Candlestick Park.
The worst outfields ever. The most giant outfields anyone has ever seen.
Those had to cost him 5 home runs, conservative, another 100 home runs. So now he's at 820 home runs, and everyone's going, Barry who? Hank who?
No, I still think that now we got to look up the Hank Aaron numbers. But since you brought up the war, let's talk about Ted Williams for a second, who lost years because he was a fighter pilot. My Turn at Bat, his book, great book. A lot of cool stuff in there. Ted Williams, by the way, old school launch angle guy, believed in it. If you're wondering how things come back around, when I was working with Dan Hampton, we used to do the old Hamp at Home show, RIP. Hamp's fine. The show's dead. Anyway, that was one of his recommendations. He was like, have you ever read My Turn at Bat by Ted Williams? Like, no. He brought me a copy, and I was like, thank you for doing that. Let's talk about Ted Williams for a second, shall we? Let's talk about the fact that he missed the 43, 44, and 45 season because he was out fighting Nazis in a plane. Either way, he ended up still playing 19 seasons. Ted Williams' slash line for his career, 344, 482. He was on base 48% of the time he came up to the plate for his entire career.
And think about if a player did that now.
You know how rich they'd be? Real rich. He slugged for his career 634, which means that Ted Williams for his career had an OPS of 1.16. Do you know how stupid that is? Like, it's him being on base 48% of the time. Ted Williams had a season. 1941. Mike, I can't even. These are numbers that you put up on Nintendo. Ted Williams' 1941 season. 406, 553, 735. He was on base 55% of the time. 55. To put it into context, if a player now has an on-base percentage of 350, you're like, man, that guy is getting on base. What's Votto? Votto's like a 40% guy, right? 400 on base for his career, like around there. This dude was on base 55% of the time that season. And 48% for his career, which I believe is the career high. Like, it's the highest on-base percentage of anyone in the history of the game. Stupid.
Yeah, Votto is the active leader right now, and his career on-base is 428.
Oh, I didn't give him enough credit. 43%, that's ridiculous. But 48% for a career. We need to take a break. These numbers are dumb and fun. Back after this on The Score. What's really fun about going in the show, going off the rails and going into the Wayback Machine, is we talk about, you know, Javier Baez being a fun special player, and then we started looking at comps for fun special players, and that morphs into us talking about old school players and ridiculous statistics. Is the fun back and forth for people via text, and people are like, you know, yeah, you got Lou Gehrig with a triple crown one season and doesn't win MVP, and Ted Williams has that great season that I talked about. He finishes behind DiMaggio for MVP, which reminds me of my favorite basketball statistic. So, remember how people went crazy because you had Oscar Robertson and triple doubles. And you go, Russell Westbrook averaged a triple double, which he's done now twice for seasons. The first time that Oscar averaged a triple double for a season, I believe it was 1961. Let me make sure I got that right. 1961. He averages a triple double for a season. He came in third in MVP voting. Here's the thing. Him coming in third actually makes sense when you find out who came in second. In 1961-62, Oscar Robertson finishes third in the MVP voting in the NBA with 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists a game. The guy who finished second was Wilt Chamberlain. I'm going to tell you these numbers, and you're going to tell me that these numbers are fake. And then you're going to be like, how did he come in second? Wilt Chamberlain in 1961-62 season. Mike, if you look these numbers up, Wilt Chamberlain in the 1961-62 season averaged 50 points and 26 rebounds a game. 50 points, 26 rebounds a game. He finished second in MVP voting to Bill Russell. Now, Russell had a great year. He averaged 19 and 24. Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 and 26 and came in second. Statistics are fun. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. We talked a little bit about him, but since we're going through some of these numbers, I wanted to share Hank Aaron's numbers with you. You talk about the land of ridiculous. Here's the slash line on Hank Aaron. 305-374-555. An OPS for his career of 928. Now, when you compare that to Ted Williams or Lou Gehrig or Babe Ruth, that doesn't look that impressive. But then you add in this. Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs. He never had a 50 home run season. It's just like every year you could just lock him in for 40 home runs. There's no 50 home run season in there. What about some of the other stuff? Okay. MVP, 57 World Series, 2 batting titles, 3 gold gloves, 25 All-Star games. Hank Aaron went to 25 All-Star games. You look at the time that he played, like the game changed so much. He starts out in 54 and it ends in 76. He is the all-time leader in RBIs with 2,297 and the all-time leader in total bases with 6,856. Should I look up the Babe Ruth numbers now? Should I just do that? We'll just end it with that, right? We'll look up the Babe Ruth numbers and just be done. It's the same thing as Garrick. Clearly, there are no black or Latin players.
Yeah.
Still. Unless, there are some people who believe.
Yes, but I don't.
There's some that do, though. There's some that believe that. He wasn't. It doesn't matter. Anyway, here's the numbers on Babe Ruth. Didn't he have like a couple of seasons where he hit more home runs than the league? Babe Ruth's slash line was 342, 474, 690. For an on-base plus slugging of 1.164. MVP, 7 World Series, a batting title, 2-time All-Star. And he won an ERA title when he was a pitcher.
What a bum. Only 2 All-Stars.
Yeah, exactly. His MVP season, Ruth hit .393, had an on-base percentage of .545, and slugged .764. That wasn't even his best OPS season. He had one season where he hit .376, .532, .847. He slugged .847. Oh, this is so fun. All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, I would like to talk parenting. I'd like to talk a little bit about parenting a youth athlete. Because we had a conversation with a coach last night, and there's some stuff in the news today about Wendell Carter that I wanted to kind of weave all of this stuff together with you. We'll do that next. I look forward to your opinion. Back after this on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.